Good morning, everybody. This is Tetzloff Yacht Sales and Wolf Marine Boat Show. Of course, I didn't say that right, but I think this is our 11th show. Boy, it's going fast, but we're sure having a good time doing it. My name is, again, John Tetzloff with Tetzloff Yacht Sales, TetzloffYachtSales.com. You can see us at Tetzloff Yacht Sales Facebook page. You can stop in any time at 575 Main Street North or give us a call at 651-214-9463. And over there on the old starboard side is...
I'm Eric Wolf. I'm with Wolf Marine. We are located 1 mile north of downtown Stillwater at the intersection of Highway 95 and 96. The proper address would be 514 Alder Street East. You can reach me at area code 651-439-2341, wolfmarine.net.
And we have to mention that through serious research on the end of KLBB here, and again, we want to thank KLBB for letting us come on and really doing the show, because I think it's really doing a good job. It's we're getting a lot of people, I am anyway, Eric, yep, telling me that they're listening to the show. What are you getting that back to?
I certainly am. I have several clients. Most everybody seems to be listening to it on the internet, you know, following up on Mondays and tuning in on Mondays on their computer. But yeah, I've had a fairly decent following. It's kind of fun to see in here.
Yeah, and again, we appreciate KLBB letting us get in here, because I know they've got a great lineup of shows on the weekend, and they were able to slide us in, so we're I feel pretty happy that we're able to get in here and do that. And again, I've got some good emails from people and calls about you know, what to cover, some items during the show, and we're going to definitely get to some of those items here in future shows. I think you probably got a few things too.
I do, yes. I have a few people lined up, some real educational people to talk about maybe AIS more, electrical shock drowning also. So yeah, our future show should be very interesting, and I would encourage everybody to tune in.
Yeah, I mean, again, like you said, if they can't listen to it live on Saturday morning at 9:30 on 12:20 a.m. KLBB, they can definitely tune in that following Monday, probably in the afternoon, to hear the most recent show. But anytime on the on-demand button, they can hear any of the previous shows at any time, 24 hours a day.
Yeah, and it's I'll tell you the truth, a lot of times that's how I listen in. I'll follow it up, come to work, and cheat a little bit and listen to it during work hours.
Why not?
I know we had one of our listeners out there. You had mentioned earlier that he was wondering about aft cabin boats and the lack of, and you came back and you had listed several aft cabin boats. I have a question to you. Do you think, like, the aft cabin boats are more of a regional thing? You see them more in the upper Midwest than you would, like, on the Gulf Coast?
You know, I think maybe on the coastal areas, they're looking more for a cockpit motor yacht style, where they have that big cockpit in the back where they can just kind of step in. Maybe they can do some fishing out of. They have that big sliding door they can go in, then they have the ladder or the molded in steps where they climb up onto the flybridge. So that could be that maybe the aft cabin is more of a Midwestern deal.
And I think when it comes to major manufacturing of the larger boats, I think that the boat manufacturers are probably looking more towards the coastal regions than they are in the Midwest. I mean, coastal regions, you have a full 12 month worth of boating, I guess, per se, as opposed to our upper Midwest, where we might have on a good year maybe 6 months. So I believe that that's probably maybe a regional deal there also. So it might be a little tougher to find the brand new style, you know, 2017 2018 aft cabin motor yachts in this regional area.
Yeah, that could be, and I mean they are out there, and but again, if you go to my website, I've got a number of good ones out there, and that's key. I mean, that's why I'm in business. You can, instead of going out there and spending, you know, that $1.5 million or that $1 million, I mean, you can come to me and get that boat for big chunk off of that price. And, you know, if it's been maintained and, you know, you have a surveyor that gets on there and gives it a good survey, and, you know, you can do a mechanical exam with, you know, the compression test or whatever you want to do, and we take it out for that sea trial, you're going to get a good boat for a big, big discount. And these aft cabins, they're great boats for this area.
Oh, great family-style boat also. I mean, it's basically, in most cases, you'll have a two-bedroom cabin style boat, great for families where the family can, kids can stay in one area and the parents can stay in another, and you both basically have a private area for yourselves. So yeah, I think that's those aft cabins are a great boat.
Yeah, and a lot of times they're going to have two heads and a couple of showers, and they're going to have one main galley and, you know, a main area in the middle where everybody can kind of meet, maybe watch TV, watch a movie, play some card games or whatever. And they're going to have an outdoor mid-deck, I call it, where they can go out that would be over that mid-cabin, the aft cabin, and they can look out, you know, a little bit elevated, or they can walk up to the flybridge where the captain is and sit out there. And, you know, sometimes, you know, when you get up there and you see everything, it's just, it's hard once you get on a flybridge-style boat. These folks don't want to go back to the cruiser style, which, you know what, there's more of the cruiser style than there are the aft cabins, but they both have their advantages.
Yeah, there's nothing like, to me, there's nothing better than sitting on a flybridge driving a boat. I mean, you have a great view from way up high, usually have the wind in your face there. It's a great feeling to be up there.
For sure.
And not only that, we got to keep in mind that if you do decide to buy this aft cabin, I know a great place to keep it. I will have some slips open there for anything up to 250 foot. So talk to John, buy one of these things, come down, talk to me. We'll get you in a slip. We'll set you up and you're going to be a happy boater.
Yeah, no, definitely. I've got every boat that I have except for maybe the 72-foot houseboater, the 65-footer. I think everything I have would fit into a slip at Wolf and realistically look real good sitting there.
I would like to have it, trust me. I'd love to see some more aft cabins down there. And speaking of which, at the marina, we've had ice out once already. The river has refroze, so this is going to be one of those kind of an odd situation where we're going to have two ice outs this year.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, you see it. You see the river go up. You see the river come down. You see the weather get cold, warm, cold. But, hey, you know what? If you've been living in Minnesota or Wisconsin most of your life or part of your life, you know that's part of the game.
Yep. The only thing that's consistent is that it's going to be inconsistent. So
yeah, that's about it.
My guys have been busy. You know, we've had a pretty mild winter. So most of the winter I've had a full crew working on the docks. I think I just added it up here a while back, but I think we went through 7,000 linear feet of 2x6. So we have been replacing a lot of the dock boards. So our marina is going to be in good shape. You know, it's going to be a great place to keep a boat. So I would encourage you, if you've got a boat, come on down, talk to us, and take a look at our place. I feel that our place can hang with any of them. So I feel that I am in good shape. Great place to keep a boat. Come talk to me.
That is definitely true. And you know, I've slipped there before, and I've had friends that have slipped there before. And, you know, we do have that sales dock there that we utilize, which is nice.
Yeah, I enjoy having it. A lot of the boaters, you know, they kind of like to see what's available and out there. So some people, as they're walking by, they kind of eye that stuff up.
Definitely. So, I've told my clients, you know, when they call with how they want me to show the boat, where they want me to show the boat, and that's definitely the first option I give them. I said, if you don't have it in the water right now, and you don't have a slip for the winter, for the upcoming season, and you want to sell it, you know, bring it down to Wolf, either rent the slip there and you can use it, or bring it to the sales dock, and, you know, for a monthly charge, it's in the water, you guys can keep it clean, looking good, and I can walk down there and have a number of boats for sale that folks can get a choice of.
Yeah, and who wants to take and look at a boat that's on the water? I mean, as soon as you step on the boat, you get the motion of the boat. there's nothing better than having a boat in the water to show to sell.
Oh, it's great. It is. I mean, they can get on there and kind of get the feel. And, you know, how it goes with me, I'm not going to get out there and fire up the engines every time someone gets on the boat or take them out for a spin. But they can definitely kind of get the feel for it, see if they like it. And if they do like it, they can get an offer going. And, you know, at that point, we can get them out on the water and we can fire up engines and do that kind of thing.
Yeah, and like I said, the boats belong in the water. They don't belong on shore. So it's a big sales pitch, sales advantage to have the boat in the water. If you've got a boat to sell, come talk to John, and we'll get the thing in the water in a slip, and he can get it sold down the road. And hopefully the new owners that purchased the boat will decide to keep it at our place.
Definitely, and that's definitely what I mentioned when I'm on the boats in the marina there. And you had mentioned earlier, too, that, you know, we're not in the water for the good year, 6 months. But you know what I like about that is it gives you some anticipation over the winter. You know, at the end of the year, you're thinking, oh, we're going to get it out, and we're going to plan for the holidays, and there's kind of a downtime there. But you know what? January, February rolls around, and that anticipation factor comes in. And just like that, the old ketchup commercial, I can't remember what that was. But anyway, that anticipation, I think is a good thing because it gets you all revved up again, gets you excited thinking about what you're going to do with the boat, what you're going to buy for it, and all that good stuff.
It can be a long winter sitting there looking out your living room window, dreaming about being on the river on your boat. Yeah, you're right. The anticipation is great. Everybody's real anxious. I've had several customers already. When we had the first thaw spell here, and the water was all opened up, and they come down, and they're all anxious to go. And you have to kind of tell them, it's a little early to
tame it down.
Yeah, we can't quite put the boat in the water quite yet.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, a week later, the river refreezes and shoots all our dreams back another month.
Yeah, it's the worst thing you want to do is get that out there and have some engines freeze up on you or something. That wouldn't be a good sight for anything.
No, we can't have that. We all have to be patient. We're probably looking realistically. We'll probably start thinking about moving the docks back into place and that probably somewhere around the first week in April, as long as the weather's permitting us to do so.
Yeah, I mean, it's usually consistent. I mean, sometimes it's later, sometimes it's sooner, but usually over the course of every year, it's usually consistent with when the boats are going to get in the water. And it's not like the end of the season where everybody has that drop-dead date where they've got to come out. The spring's a little different, but usually, to me, it seems always to be right around the same time.
Right on, yeah. And, our first big holiday weekend, that's kind of the kickoff. And it's been awfully cold sometimes during the Memorial weekend. But, if you're up and ready to do some hardcore boating around Memorial weekend, that's a good start to summer right there.
Yeah, dang right. And I'm definitely going to try to push some boats out there. And I know my clients want to hear that. And I'm going to mention Wolf Marine to put these new boats in the slip for the rest of the boating year.
Yeah, and it looks like we're coming up towards the end of our first session here. So again, I am Eric Wolf. I am the co-owner of Wolf Marine in Stillwater here. Remember, we're just 1 mile north of downtown Stillwater, intersection of Highway 95 and 96.
And John Tetzloff with Tetzloff Yacht Sales, 575 Main Street North, Stillwater, Minnesota. And you can contact us at 651-214-9463. Go to TetzloffYachtSales.com or check out our Facebook page at Tetzloff Yacht Sales.
A convenient location and protected bay. Shouldn't that be where you harbor your boat? If so, dock your boat at Wolf Marine in Stillwater. Hello, this is Eric Wolf. After all, why have a boat if you can't get out onto the water and enjoy it? My grandparents, along with my father, established this marina at the intersection of Highway 95 and 96, just a mile north of Stillwater in 1957. By being just north of downtown, you avoid heavy traffic that keeps you from getting out onto the water. And in our protected bay, we have hundreds of slips ranging in size from 16 to 50 feet, so we can accommodate a variety of boats. Not sure if this is the best place to keep your boat? Come see me. I can answer your questions so you can decide the best place to dock your boat. And because Wolf Marine is a three-generation family-owned marina, you can count on consistency from year to year. Talk to me and get out on the water faster at Wolf Marine.
Hello, this is John Tetzloff of Tetzloff Yacht Sales. Everything might be frozen right now, but if you are already thinking of getting out on the water in your new boat, now is the time to talk to me. Whether you're looking at a houseboat, cruiser, motor yacht, or something else. And with the largest selection of boats in the area, not only do we have boats in Stillwater, but we also broker boats up and down the St. Croix, the Mississippi, Lake Minnetonka, all over North America, and even overseas. I will help you find the best boat for you, and because my name is the name on the sign, I will work hard for you before and after the sale. To enjoy the water this summer, come visit TetzloffYachtSales.com. Hello for the second part of our show. This is John Tetzloff with Tetzloff Yacht Sales. Say, you know, I was going to mention, I'm going to be Stillwater, the Chamber of Commerce has got a showcase, community showcase up at the high school, Stillwater High School, March 25th. And I'm going to have a booth there, and I'm going to actually have a boat there. So if you guys want to have a check out the community thing, come on down and check us out.
Very good. John and I have had some real good positive feedback on our last show with Dr. Peter Sorensen and the Asian carp problem that we have and what it could pose problems to our ecosystem. And we think it was really important for people to listen to this. It was a great show. We're going to replay that here again. And we think it is really important to pay particular attention to the representatives. Call your representatives. They're going to need funding for him to keep his research and funding and stuff up. So,
yeah, and the last thing we want is some of those big dang fish flying into somebody's boat. I mean, that's the last thing you want, especially if you're a nighttime boater. So check with your representatives and keep it big on their list.
Yeah, and enjoy the show. Like I said, this is something that is really important for the St. Croix. We still have a pristine river here. And with the help of Dr. Sorensen and his research group, we're going to keep it that way. So enjoy the show.
Thank you, guys.
And today we have a very special guest. It's Dr. Peter Sorensen. He's from the University of Minnesota, professor, Department of Fisheries, Wildlife, and Conservation Biology. Welcome on, Peter. We really enjoyed having you here. We're going to probably talk a little bit today about the Asian carp that are encroaching on our St. Croix River. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
A pleasure, of course, and thank you for having me. So a little bit about it. The Asian carp, the carp from Asia, which there are two main species, the bighead and silver carp, have got quite a history in the U.S. They were actually introduced to Arkansas, believe it or not, in the 70s on purpose. And there's history behind that, too. They've been spreading north ever since, where basically Minnesota's a little bubble right now. We're surrounded by carp to our east, west, and south. People don't realize that, but we're just kind of like hanging out up here. And they're moving north from Iowa right now. They're down around Lock and Dam 14 or 15.
Okay. What kind of threat do they pose to our river system here?
Well, that's a great question. Very fundamental threat. They basically feed at the very base the food chain. They eat a lot of plankton, and they kind of impact the food chain, so there's like echoing and magnifying effects on all the species in the river through this food chain thing. And then, of course, what they're famous for is this jumping, and that would be really tragic to have a lot of large, jumping, dangerous fish in any river, especially the beautiful St. Croix, frankly.
Well, in most of the video, I think, that we've all probably mm-hmm. have seen at one point in time, I believe most of that's from, like, the Illinois River. Is that correct?
Yeah, the Illinois, most of it's from down there, Peoria area. It's sort of, that's a sort of, they've done exceptionally well in that area, so the very high densities, and people bow hunt them and spearfish them and drive around with gladiator suits and stuff like that. They're very large numbers in the Illinois River, but it's pretty bad in other places too, St. James in South Dakota, Missouri River, all the way down actually to New Orleans, or even going to the Gulf of Mexico. It's important to understand that they're heading our way, and they bust about everywhere other than Pennsylvania, Kentucky. We're very lucky they're not here yet.
And why are they maybe more prevalent in those areas versus up here?
Great question. of course, you don't really know. You can't do, you know, I'm a scientist, so I can't say with certainty. I can't give you a p-value or something like that.
You'd be the man if you could.
Yeah, I know I would. But I can tell you there's sort of two things. One is probably it's got something to do with the fact that Minnesota's rivers are especially well conserved and preserved. We have very healthy ecosystems up here still, and that probably is creating what we call level of biotic resistance. They're more predatory fish than versus down in channelized Illinois River. That's one reason. But probably equally important is the fact, at least my research group believes, that we have very substantial lock and dam systems. We just happen to have them up in this area of the river because of how the river flows, that we think are significant deterrents to their slowing down their passage upstream.
Has there been any means of stopping these things?
Good question. So the government's investing many, there's sort of two lines, maybe several lines. The government, it's hard to say, they're attempting to fish them down the Illinois River right now, spending several million dollars just trying to, and they, by stopping what they seem to have done, it's hard to say, is they maybe have stalled out the invasion, but they're investing enormous sums. And of course, the carp are still there in very high numbers. They're just not moving forward anymore. That's one way that's actually being implemented. They're also looking at some various poisons, and my research group, has, as you may know, has been looking at the possibility that not only are these locks and dam systems already impeding their movement, as it probably is native fish, but that these systems, how they're operated, could be enhanced to significantly deter them even more.
Is there any other operations? Now, I've heard, you know, about the bubbling systems and noises and stuff like that. What's your opinion on them?
We think it's very promising, actually. The lab work strongly suggests that you don't know. I mean, I've been in this business a long time. Until you go in the river and actually test something, you know, it's a big jump from a small, even a big lab tank to the open river. But our work and other work suggests the sounds and the bubbles in the lab are having very effective and could be deployed potentially in the locks. Our work also, statistical modeling suggests that the flow regimes around these locks and dams could potentially be modified in ways that would further deter the movement upstream of these fish, which would be quite remarkable because it's important. The context here is that they arrived in Arkansas 40 years ago, and we're still only get a relatively small number of them up here. It's so hard for them to get through already. So any additional effort might have really enormous payoffs, if that makes some sense. This is not inevitable, I don't believe.
Are there any predatory fish out there, like, say, a muskie? Is that something? I know there's not a lot of them out there, but is that something that could take them out?
Maybe. You know, the bigger potential, and we worked on a common carp for many years, and this is it makes sense, I think, but, you know, Lord knows it took us about 10 years to figure it out, is to look at fish that eat very small things, that eat eggs and larvae, because for instance, we've found that bluegill sunfish can eat several billions of eggs of common carp in lakes if there are enough of them present, and there often are if they're not overfished. Same thing, it's a lot easier to eat eggs of Asian carp than it is to eat like a 20, you know, 40-pound Asian carp itself. So that is probably the way to kind of control these things. It's not, well, like I said, it took us, well, basically 10 years to figure out that's the way to go at it, which is, you know, really good because that means a healthy ecosystem and food chain with lots of predatory fish of all sizes is a really good approach, and it's very reasonable and, frankly, possibly manageable. And that could be deployed here, too, and we've been suggesting that at certain stretches below Lake Pepin there might be some way of at least managing predators so that they could further impact these carp.
And so are they, is anybody then establishing a bigger population of, say, the sunfish or whatever?
I'm not aware that anybody's doing that work right now. There's been some lab studies. The issue is really to our south, and this is the irony, I guess, like everything. Once you got them, you got them. It's like head lice or something, you know, it's like too late. And until you do, you don't know what you're going to get. So in Illinois, this predator control thing, people are looking at it, but it's really kind of too late down there.
Sure.
So it's important for us to kind of, I believe, maybe speaking more as a citizen here, to appreciate what we have and value it and work to protect that. Yeah.
And then in every ecosystem, you have natural predators. In the native land of where these Asian carp come from, what are their regular predators?
That's a great question. Really great question. People have looked. Ironically, and this is the case with a lot of invasive species, the Chinese have done so much damage to their rivers with overfishing and pollution, there are hardly any Asian carp left in their rivers. So we don't know what there might have been to control them when things were normal, probably. But I can tell you there were some very interesting creatures in the rivers, things like river dolphins that might have actually been quite effective, very large predators, but they're long gone.
In China?
In China, yeah.
Wow.
Okay. And the reproduction of these things, they must be really good at reproducing. I mean, the numbers that you see in some of these videos – in relatively short period of time that they've been here, I've read in one area that one big head carp can produce 2 million eggs. Is that a safe statement?
Yeah, it's on that. It's maybe not 2 million. I think it's more like hundreds of thousands. But you know, most fish are pretty good at it. I mean, the issue is that there's nothing to control. Apparently, conditions are right so that once they do reproduce, which fortunately, it's very important to understand it has not happened to the best of our knowledge in Minnesota yet, so it's not too late. But once you have a fair number of young surviving, then it's which they do, then you do pretty well. But they are vulnerable because the silver carp require 10 to 50 river miles of open water for the eggs to drift down. So at that point, you see predators could easily pick them off.
Sure.
And these are things that we could work on in Minnesota, to which would be good for fishing, too. This is one of the things I believe in.
Yeah, I've got to believe. Well, we already know that we, as humans, have the ability to annihilate certain species. Now, I have to believe that somewhere along the line, we should be able to annihilate these Asian carp somehow.
Well, I hear that. You know, certainly that's possible. Chinese have done it. But it's going to cost a great deal to do that. And when you see fish getting annihilated, it's usually because they have great value, whether that's tuna or walleye maybe or something like that, you know, where you're paying dollars per pound. Asian carp, the price is 10 cents per pound.
I was going to ask real quick before we run out of time, what do they taste like?
They're not bad.
Better than the regular carp?
Yeah, I'd say so. A nicer, whiter meat. Definitely better than regular carp.
I've read that the silver carp is said to taste like cod or a cross between cod and scallops and crab meat.
Well.
Take your choice. So, they're fine. I don't know.
Never seen them on the menus.
Nevertheless. And I think we're probably coming to the end of our first half of the show here. Again, I am Eric Wolf. I am co-owner-operator of Wolf Marine in Stillwater here, located 1 mile north of downtown Stillwater, intersection of Highway 95 and 96.
And John Tetzloff, Tetzloff Yacht Sales, TetzloffYachtSales.com, downtown Stillwater, 575 Main Street North, TetzloffYachtSales.com.
A convenient location in Protected Bay. Shouldn't that be where you harbor your boat? If so, dock your boat at Wolf Marine in Stillwater. Hello, this is Eric Wolf. After all, why have a boat if you can't get out onto the water and enjoy it? My grandparents, along with my father, established this marina at the intersection of Highway 95 and 96, just a mile north of Stillwater in 1957. But being just north of downtown, you avoid heavy traffic that keeps you from getting out onto the water. And in our protected bay, we have hundreds of slips ranging in size from 16 to 50 feet, so we can accommodate a variety of boats. Not sure if this is the best place to keep your boat? Come see me. I can answer your questions so you can decide the best place to dock your boat. And because Wolf Marine is a three-generation family-owned marina, you can count on consistency from year to year. Talk to me and get out on the water faster at Wolf Marine.
Hello, this is John Tetzloff of Tetzloff Yacht Sales. Everything might be frozen right now, but if you are already thinking of getting out on the water in your new boat, now is the time to talk to me. Whether you're looking at a houseboat, cruiser, motor yacht, or something else. And with the largest selection of boats in the area, not only do we have boats in Stillwater, but we also broker boats up and down the St. Croix, the Mississippi, Lake Minnetonka, all over North America, and even overseas. I will help you find the best boat for you, and because my name is the name on the sign, I will work hard for you before and after the sale. To enjoy the water this summer, come visit TetzloffYachtSales.com.